Okay. Peg, I'm just trying to adjust the camera so it will follow whoever's talking. I don't know what's going on. And while we're talking, did I send you, forward you the site plan from Ray Gardner last week?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I'm Lars. Lars, is that you, Lars Gardner, or is that actually Ray? I just want to have it correct for the minute.
Ray's in person.
Ray's in person. So is that really Lars on the? Okay, thank you.
And I'm not sure, Michelle, if what I anticipate for tonight is if that is necessary.
Okay.
Or not. But like I said, I mean, I have, you have it.
So I still need a minute for
a forum.
Well, I think, do we have a forum? I think
you do.
Yes, you've got a quorum.
Okay.
And Haley, I just admitted Haley, so she'll be in a sec.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we'll go ahead and open the Boulder Town Planning Commission meeting for October 14th. We have Michelle or Peg will record who's on Zoom, and we have me, Colleen Thompson. We have Elena Hughes, and we also have John Varance here, and two public meetings at this time. Okay, so I'm hoping everybody got to look at the agenda, and I'll make a motion to, does anybody have any questions or comments on the agenda? Okay, so I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for Thursday, October 14th.
John, second.
All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Erin Hughes, aye.
Is Haley on? Did we get too fast? We might have gone too fast. Oh. Colleen Thompson, aye. Ooh, we might have done that too fast.
Haley is showing in my. Oh, she's on. She's okay. Just muted. Haley, you're muted. Oh, she looks so run. And maybe. Maybe she, oh, there she goes. She'll probably be right back in.
Okay, we'll wait a minute for Haley to come in. Are you there, Haley? Okay, can we approve the September minutes and come back? Oh, there she is.
Sorry.
Haley, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just got kicked off. And I think I have to leave my video off possibly because I think that's what kicks me off. So if it happens again.
Okay, so could you... Okay. And could you approve the minutes on the agenda?
Yes.
The agenda? Okay, thank you. Okay, so we have a full Thank you, Haley.
Yep.
Okay, does anyone have any comments? Actually, it'd be Haley, Matt, or I. Any comments on the September minutes?
Nope.
Although I was not on the commission, I was...
You need to raise your hand and speak and tell your name.
John Barant, although I was not on the commission then, I was present and I've read the minutes and believe they accurately reflected what I heard. So, although I won't be voting, I think they are correct.
So, Haley, do you have any comments on the September minutes? Okay. So, we will vote to approve the September minutes.
I'll second that. I'll second that motion. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Thank you, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
And John Barant, aye.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to open, talk a little bit more about what we're doing and why as we go along the meeting for Elena and John. Basically, they come to the meetings before, but I just kind of want to put a little bit more into the meetings. So for me, for the Planning Commission, we have initial public comments at the beginning, at the end of the meeting, so that during the meeting, it is a public meeting, and so the public is here, but it is a time for us to do our business. So it's different from everybody as far as how they run their meetings. We're also going to have a public hearing tonight. In a public hearing, basically the definition of a public hearing, which you both might know, is when we hear the public. So when we open that up, we're going to have questions before. We're going to open up the public hearing, and then we will take questions from the public. We close that, and then as a group, we discuss those statements before we make any kind of motion on it. So what I'm going to do, and then we'll have comments at the end. So what I'm going to do is open it up for initial public comments for anyone at this time. And that's basically including chat. Which chat is the public, and so anyone that wants to chat can right now or make public comments.
This is Cookie Shouse. I don't know how to use my raise my hand thing, but I do have a statement I would like to read. Just a real short one. Okay, for the record, my name is Cookie Shouse. As a former member of planning, I would like to take this opportunity to thank town council for having appointed me to this position. I do have a few comments that I would like to express regarding proposed ordinances that have been presented to city council for review. These ordinances and table of uses were carefully constructed by, in some cases, groups of Boulder citizens in several meetings with planners, input from legal and professional people, and public hearings. Something that as we as a board always considered and was foremost in our minds was the vision statement, which was created from a community-wide survey and is a list of 13 items. These were sorted and arranged from the most wished for at the top and so on down the line. They were then entered into the town documents. This is shown on page 13 of the general plan listed as the town's goals, 5.2. Also thrown into the mix is the consideration of what Boulder's infrastructure can accommodate. This changes year by year as tourism increases. We rely on good-hearted volunteers for emergency medical and fire services. It seems that there is one law enforcement officer in town periodically. this is not even addressing town septic, water, and road issues and residential housing. To get to my point, what the planning board sends forward to the town council for review and at some point approval has in most cases taken many hours of research and formulation. The suggested ordinances regarding housing, RV parks, camping, commercial facilities, et cetera, are not arbitrary and have been researched, talked about, and constructed to be legal. Calling this a starting point is misleading to the audience and dismisses the amount of research and discussion that went into the creation of the ordinance. Town Council obviously has the last say on these matters, and I dearly hope that some research and documentation by Town Council relating to proposed ordinance modifications makes its way to meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Cookie. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Okay, this is Jim Catmull. I'm here on behalf of Bullitt Farmstead for the water for the build out program on it. Bullitt Farmstead keeps hearing that we are completely out of water for building. We need to put like the moratorium on it, different things like that. We have it. I have the complete breakdown of exactly how much water we used last year and exactly how much we were allotted just so we can clear some stuff up on it. So residential use, we used 23,532,971 gallons of water. That's for 190 active meters. And for commercial use, we use 1,331,789 gallons, and that is just for 9 meters. We have industrial use of 29,490. That is for 2 connections. That's the phone company and the power company, Garpane. Institutional use, we have 4,593,623, and that is for the park, the school, the church, and the town. So altogether, we use 29,487,873 gallons of water for 208 active connections that we have right now. We are actually allowed 214 acre feet a second, which is 69 million gallons from what we are allowed per year. So when we use 29 million, we're allowed 69 million. So we get from total from all water sources, and this all the water sources is our BKRE well up in the subdivision, we have our Garcane well, we have the well to the in the cemetery plus our spring. So all four of those, we have a combined income of our combined annual thing of 46,913,760 gallons that we actually brought into the town. We only use 26 million of it. The 29 million of it, 17 million of it is straight overflow. That's what comes into our tanks. It doesn't get used in the town. It's chlorine and it goes right out of our overflow because it's not being used during whatever peak months we have. So we have culinary water. And the difference for the how much we actually use, like when we actually shut down in May and we told everybody, please don't use your water until after the thing is because we are, well, actually got cased in. So we had complete, our stream was completely cased over, so we couldn't actually draw water out of our well. It was nothing to do with the water coming out of the well. We weren't shortage on the well. We just had to drill a new well, a new pipe in, new pump, everything like that. So as soon as we got that back up, which is up and running now, we're full capacity again with no problems. It was never because we were out of water. We just didn't have one of our main wells actually operating. Any questions?
Yeah, does anyone, I'm going to go ahead and since Jimmy gave us this information. Does anyone on the Planning Commission have any comments?
Yeah, is this information going to be sent on, Jimmy, to everyone so we can have copies of it?
Yes, I'm going to make a copy for you, everyone, before I leave here.
John?
Well, thank you for a really good report. Sometimes you mix acre feet, millions of gallons per year, and some a little hard to follow real quickly, so I'm trying to do it in my head. About how many additional hookups, residential hookups, do you have capacity for?
Right now we're set at 50,000 gallons per person for the $48. We can sell, as long as we have the capacity for it, as soon as we get the capacity, instead of actually telling people, no, we're not allowed to have a hookup for that, we lower everybody else's water from 50,000 to 40,000 or whatever it goes, and actually to comply with that, what it is. Because we're not going to tell, the way the Boulder's set up right now, we have the most water per month for the lowest fee in the whole entire state of Utah. There's not another city or anything else that is even close to 50,000 gallons a month. So the state even tells us, hey, you guys are giving way too much water out. But if we don't give that much water out, then if we don't use it, we actually lose our actual water rights itself. So that's why we're sitting at 50,000 gallons. We could go Escalante, you go, I think it's 15,000 gallons, and then they start charging every 1,000 after that. And so it's the question of how many do we have? It's who knows how, right? Because you can adjust the different sizes of, or the different, how many gallons everybody receives per month. So,
well, right now, is there a guesstimate to that? Can we get a loose number on that?
Well, if we're going with, we'll say, 29.5 million that we're using now, and we're allowed 69 million, so we're using, we'll say, 30 million. So we could have, off of just this, and we have 208 connections. You could probably have another 205, 215, something like that, without actually adjusting the water.
Thank you.
That's just a guess.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jimmy, for that information. I think we've kind of been looking for some of this information. I hope that's helpful to you, Lee, also, the information from Boulder Farmstead. Do you have any comments or questions?
Okay. Question. Jim, on the culinary water system, on people on hookups, is there any differentiation between what they might use in their garden or their trees or that kind of stuff, or is it just pure usage, on metered usage?
It addresses meter. Whatever, as soon as it goes through the meter, we have no clue what anybody's using anything for. And this is also just shareholders of Boulder Farmstead. This isn't counting any of the private wells, like anything like that. So when you're, and the reason I say that is if you're going to do the hydraulic study or even looking into it, you're going to have to look at every single one of the private wells that are not metered, even metered, like the lodge, they have a metered well, different things like that. It all comes into play for when you're actually doing and actually looking for the hydraulic study. And anything that we have for Boulder Farmstead, Jones and Mill has anything and everything we have. They've helped us for the last 25 years, I think it is, with just putting everything together for our master plan to everything, our whole entire layout. So there's a lot of stuff available. And if you guys need anything from Boulder Farmstead, Connie Reed or Yvonne, if you're a shareholder, you're more than welcome to go ask them to do whatever you need. So.
Do we have any other comments?
Tina said something in the chat.
Okay, so if you want to read that. So we have a comment from Tina.
I mean, anybody who's got chat can see it, but she says, earlier, this is because our lots are larger. Escalante has smaller lots, is my understanding, and I'm willing to mentor my well, monitor maybe? Meter, sorry.
So, Tina, yes, they are, the lots in Escalante are smaller, but they also don't have as many acre foot that they're actually allowed, just for the fact that their spring development, their wells that they have, they don't produce nearly the water that we do produce over here. So that's why the other reason they're also limited to exactly what, how many they're doing. And anybody that's a shareholder now, you'll see in the next bill for the metering of it, we've had to raise our rates again just for the state was telling us that we weren't charging enough to actually make money to keep our business actually going as Boulder Farmstead, that they weren't actually charging enough. That's why we had to just change our rates for the different scales of the water. And Tina, you might have to start metering your well because the state's going to be, they're already starting to look at private wells right now as we speak due to water conservation, because anybody that's in an actual, say Boulder Farmstead, Escalante water, anything like that, we are actually certified to be on the water systems itself. They're trying to actually crack down on private wells because they don't have any kind of water conservation on them. As long as you can pump water, there's no meter, there's no nothing. As long as you can actually afford to pump it, you can just keep pumping the water and there's no recoil, there's no anything, like there's no recourse on it. So yes, so you might have to start monitoring and metering your wells.
Do you have any other comments? Okay, so Shayla, I don't see anything, do you?
I don't.
Okay, thank you, Jimmy, for that information. That was very helpful and great timing. I think we've been interested in looking for some of this information, and thanks for coming. Okay, so the next thing we're going to do is recognize our outgoing commissioners. Thank you, Cookie, for all your hard work. Thank you for your comments that you made. I hope that you do make some comments in the next month or two, because you've done a lot of work on the Planning Commission as far as things that we're looking at still in the next month or two. I'm not so sure Josie is here. So Josie has good reasons for not being on the Planning Commission any longer. I think, if I'm not mistaken, she got a nice raise. She has she's got a great job, and they recognize her talent, and I'm really grateful for her. So we have with us tonight, we have John Varanth, and we also have Elena Hughes. And so I'm just going to go ahead and go along, just trying to explain what we're doing in the meeting right now. I will make a comment basically, and I know that I don't do this myself either, but if you can try to remember to say your name before you speak. I know that the secretaries get used to your voices, and they will, but even if you can try to get used to that, it just helps the secretaries. One thing that I'll say too is, as far as communication between us, any communication that you want to have, we try to stay away from emails. Basically, two or more commissioners can talk together, and it's not considered a meeting. If there's more, it's considered a meeting if you're out in public somewhere. It's easy to get on email and talk about things sometimes, but we really want to be careful about that. If either one of you have any questions at all, you should go to Peg. She is our secretary, and she has a lot of information. Either that, or you can come to me and ask me anything that you need to know for the next couple of months. And so that, as far as communication, I'd like to continue on with that. And welcome, you know, we've been doing a lot of work, and I know both of you have kind of been involved the last couple of months. I think you both kind of know where we're heading tonight on these discussions. And so let's go ahead and move in with Lee. Lee, you're there, right?
I am here.
Okay, so we have on the agenda discussion on the direction for handling the build out. What I wanted to know is if you had any more thoughts on the build out, if you had any more comments on the build out. I'd like to know what you think about the information that we were given tonight from Boulder Farmstead, which I think you might know is our water company.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I think we need to go back to the three questions that I raised with you in the memo that you got a month or so ago, well, more than a month ago, and talk about the three choices that exist. The information from the water company is really helpful, and I will look forward to seeing that on paper so I can do some evaluation. But even if there is no serious limitation on water that's available that way, as it stands right now, anybody who wants to can put in a domestic well. And so the potential for the proliferation of individual wells is there. If people take a life cycle cost, I doubt that they can compete with what they're getting from the water company with a well. I think that would be almost impossible, but nonetheless, we do need to understand what the impact of a bunch of additional wells would be, because there could be hundreds, and that could impact the water company's wells also. And so we need to understand that interaction. And then we also, as a result of the hydrologic study, would learn a great deal more about the impact of on-site wastewater systems. Even if we do have a water company providing, good potable water, there is quite a potential for contamination of the alluvial and sandy soils in the Boulder Basin there from on-site wastewater systems. So I think that the information that you heard is helpful, and it's like, well, there isn't any near-term immediate limitation on the water company's ability to serve people. But we do have the potential for private wells that we need to evaluate. We have the potential for all of those on-site wastewater systems. So if you look at the build-out numbers, which say that on those parcels that are not currently subdivided, you can get roughly 450 new homes. And then you add for the non-conforming lots and the vacant subdivided parcels, that probably is realistically more like 475. That would be 475 additional on-site wastewater disposal systems. That's a lot. And so I think we find ourselves reassured that nobody's going to run out of water in the immediate future, but that doesn't address the other issues that the build-out study raises. And so I think you're back to the three questions that I raised, which is one, you can say, hey, it's no problem. We will accept the impacts of additional private wells and on-site wastewater systems. That means we could finish off the amendments we've been working on and move right ahead. You could say, let's fund a hydrologic study and wait and see what the outcomes are of that. And we don't know. A person who, has a private well can pump and pump, that was pointed out, and they can irrigate. They're not confined to just domestic use. So there's the potential for a great deal of water to be withdrawn, as well as the potential for a great deal of waste to be put into the water, into the aquifers. So you could look at the hydrologic study and say, upon receiving that, here's what we're going to do. The third option that I laid out before you is to say, look, let's deal with the zoning response to these issues right now, which of course would take a couple of months to do by the time you go through hearings and conversations about it. There's two real variations, and I laid this out for you in the memo. You could downzone the low density residential and the general mixed use zoning districts in their entirety. And I did not put numbers in here because people get so hung up on numbers that we need to talk about concepts before we talk about numbers. It's just otherwise things can become chaotic. That's not a total moratorium on building. It's just a downzoning. It allows all the existing subdivision lots, existing vacant subdivision lots to be used. It allows the existing non-conforming residential lots to be used. And it would allow for a bit of development, depending on what number you set, on the larger parcels. There would be an issue with creating non-conforming lots, but that's something that would be temporary and you could manage. You would just have to be very aware of that impact. So that's one option, is to say, hey, we're gonna essentially downzone the entire community until we have the results of a hydrologic study and feel comfortable with that. Alternatively, and given what your general plan says, and you know what the visible, obvious character of Boulder is, you could downzone the irrigated lands. Most of the development that's remaining development possibilities are on irrigated land anyway, and leave the 5-acre zoning in place on non-irrigated parcels. The owners of the irrigated land are going to be concerned about that, legitimately so. You could allow them to transfer some development rights, rights to build a home, or really to create a lot, off of the irrigated land onto non-irrigated land that they also own. And there's a lot of parcels that are large enough where that would be a viable option for the owner of the irrigated lands. People who have a smaller irrigated parcel would not be able to take advantage of that, probably, most of them. So there are some options here. And they go beyond, you know, the hydrological questions that we have. The water supply and water quality questions are incredibly important. They're fundamental, but we're also talking about the character of Boulder and your vision for the future. 450 additional dwellings over some period of time would be a pretty considerable change in the character of Boulder, and it would have impacts that go way beyond water supply. You don't have the first responder services, whether it be fire, law enforcement, or EMS, to deal with 450 additional homes right now. There would be a great deal more traffic, and there would be impacts on the streets that the town doesn't have to deal with to the same degree. There would be demand for additional recreation and park facilities. There would be a comprehensive change in the nature of running the town of Boulder with 450 more dwellings, even if many of them were seasonal. You have to be prepared to serve that seasonal home at any point. So yeah, people are not there. Yeah, the overall water consumption, things like that, would not be as high as with year-round residents, but for those services that are on-demand services, like your emergency services, you got to anticipate that home having occupants, even though you know that it does not for certain periods of time. So I think it's up to you. It's a matter of your vision of the future. And any decision you make here affects the amendments that we have to make to the subdivision regulations. And it also affects the discussions that we've had about how you could promote workforce housing. I know many people are concerned about the housing issue, but this fundamental issue of density and how density interacts with public services has to come to some degree before we talk about the workforce housing issues. Can't build workforce housing if you don't have services for it. So that's my quick take on it, is that we need to have a direction among these options. And like I said, if the direction is, hey, we don't worry about 450 additional homes, then we go ahead and make the required amendments to the subdivision regulations to comply with state law and finish off the work on accessory dwelling units, and we're done. If you're going to do a hydrologic study, if you can find the money for that, which I think there's some hope, and wait, then we also finish off the amendments, but know that we have to come back to it once the hydrologic study is done. Or you could say, look, we don't want to take the risk at this point in time of a drastic change in water quality, potentially, although it's less of an issue, having heard what I've heard in water supply, and in the character of the community. If you do decide to rezone, you know darned well that it's going to be controversial, but you've got to decide what type of place you want to live in.
Does anyone have any comments? John?
John here. Thank you, Lee, for a very good presentation, and I really appreciate all the work that has been done by you and by the previous members of the Planning Commission on this issue. It's a difficult one. A couple comments, though. Getting on the Planning Commission and looking at past minutes, I'm realizing how much work we've already got on our plate. That 400 houses is something that is so close on the horizon that it should take priority over a lot of things that we have more immediately. Additionally, I'll remind everyone that a lot of this isn't our business as a Planning Commission. The state engineer has jurisdiction over water. We don't. By state law, the health department has jurisdiction over septic. So the issue which you bring up, and I'm very concerned about groundwater contamination from improperly designed or improperly maintained septic systems, that's the health department's jurisdiction. So I really don't think we need to be spending a lot of our resources getting into the business of other agencies that are already designated by state law to deal with those issues. Beyond that, I also think that any talk of downzoning ranch land is going to be very controversial and probably will be a total non-starter if we came up with a recommendation to do that and brought it to the town council. So again, I think that we should work on higher priorities, and I'm kind of inclined to your no immediate problem. Yes, you brought up problems with this build-up study. We shouldn't forget them, but it's not an immediate, short-term, next year or two issue. So that's kind of my reaction after reading your wonderful and detailed work, which I appreciate.
Thank you, John. Does anyone else have any comments?
Matt Cochran here. I'd like to comment, and I have a few questions along the way, Lee.
Sure.
First off, the hydrologic study does seem very crucial to me, and I wanted to add the fact that along with 450 houses, that also opens up 450 ADUs, as impossible as that sounds, but it's something to consider within septics and water too. So there's almost, there's possibility for a doubling of that number as the current ordinances go right now. So the hydrologic study is really important. And beyond that, I also believe that sticking with the vision of the general plan, which has been worked on by many, many, many people over the years, is really crucial, and that the way it's set up now, it could change the character of Boulder, depending. So it is a hard hard question. How do you steer that growth in a viable way that still keeps everyone's property rights equitable and is fair? So, I mean, that's where I'm sitting on it. And let me circle back for a minute. So on the hydrologic study, Lee, if DeMille and Jones, I don't know their name, were to do that, you wrote in one of your memos that it should be peer reviewed by like the USGS. Is that, can you say more about that? And is it easy to get something peer reviewed or not?
I think that it would be relatively easy to get the Utah Geological Survey to peer review a study done for the town. You'd obviously have to communicate with them. I have communicated with them about this, but more on the vein of them actually doing the study and trying to figure out what that would require. And also, of course, what information they already have, which is very, very limited. I think we've determined that. So, you know, peer review is a good idea for any scientific, for any empirical work, and is something that you should try to build into the project. And like I said, the Utah Geological Survey would be the logical body to do the peer review for the town. It's not really, you know, a huge formal process. It's a matter of submitting the results that your engineering firm comes up with to them and taking a look at their comments before you finalize any conclusions. So that I think is essential. And, you know, beyond that is a matter of finding funding and seeing if you can get this information.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So, I mean, where my take at the moment is that, you know, the hydrologic study needs to be done. And, you know, that hard data is really important and really the duty of the planning commission, whose concern is the future development and growth of Boulder in an appropriate way. And resources are not the only limit, but, you know, the way that we've defined the character of the town and open territory is another. And that seems really critical to many people here. I think a moratorium is too extreme at the moment. And I think doing nothing is a mistake as well. So not knowing much about downzoning and not understanding, you know, how to make that work, I would propose that while we get funding and a hydrologic study is going, we go down the path of downzoning and explore it as a community to find out, you know, to come up with something that works for the town of Boulder. And I think it's easy, but I'm saying that to me would be the responsible way to handle the circumstances that our town is in now for the first time historically. So I'll leave it at that. But that's what I got so far. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Does anyone else have any comments? Elena?
Elena, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, this is Elena. I think it's important to think long-term right now also. I think that the option that sounds most interesting to me is the second one, to fund the study and wait. I agree with John that it's probably not going to happen, that 450 new homes are going to be proposed immediately, and that would take forever to get through the Planning Commission anyway to do all those subdivisions. So I think that we probably could keep it and wait. Something else that I would like to point out that I read when I see this is that in 3B, when it talks about the option of downzoning irrigated lands to better match the spirit of the general plan and the character of Boulder, what I think when I read that is sort of that if we're thinking as I am of the spirit and character of Boulder, like in keeping larger irrigated land, lands is to keep agriculture, I think something that's important to acknowledge is that people that are doing agriculture in town right now that don't already own land are not able to buy large swaths of land. So anyone who's young and trying to make it in agriculture here is looking at lots for a home that are five or less, and they need irrigated land to get started, and then are hoping to use other people's land as well. But I think it would be dangerous to downzone too much to the point that we don't have any new ag, and then when the people are that are on these big ranches then one day are not on them anymore, we don't have a whole lot of ag because those ranches will sell for more than someone farming can afford.
Thank you, Elena. Haley, go ahead.
I was just curious if we have gotten anywhere as far as the study goes. I know Steve mentioned in the last meeting, I can't remember who he had said he'd been in touch with, but how, I mean, do we have any more ideas as far as like how far off getting that hydrological study would be or the funds for that? Is there any more information in regards to that that we have this month or?
Well, I think, I'm not sure if Steve is on. If I'm not mistaken, I think that he was going to look into having that study done through Jones and DeMille. Isn't that who that is, Jimmy?
Yeah,
Jones?
Right.
And so, oh, I think Steve is there. Do you have any comments, Steve?
No, I've already checked with Jones and DeMille, and they do that kind of study, but I think what you would have to do is tailor it more to what you want out of the study. That would be working with Daniel Hawley, is his name, at Jones and DeMille. And then I think the route to go is you would present that proposal to the town council. Cost-wise, Daniel said there may be some funding, but, you know, until we sort of commit to at least looking at it, they're not going to do anything. So I think the Planning Commission, if you decide to go ahead and want a study, you need to do a little groundwork with Jones and DeMille. They know, they've worked a lot with Older Farmstead. I'm sure they've worked a lot with Southwest Health. So they're going to have a better idea of what it is you're going to need and the cost to put that together. So, you know, I would think you would do the groundwork and then present it to the town council as an ask or a proposal for us to secure that funding.
Okay, so I was talking to Michelle as far as what we would do next. So Steve, could you say that again, just the very last of it?
Well, I guess I don't know what part you want, but I think it has to come from the Planning Commission of what you would like Jones and DeMille to determine. Is that working with Boulder Farmstead and Southwest Health? I think they would have to have a better understanding of what you're trying to do and why. Then they could maybe give you a ballpark figure and maybe tell you other sources of funding. I'm sure the town would have to match that in some form, and that's what you would bring to the town council is what you're asking for as far as funding, because we haven't appropriated any money for a study, so that would have to be something we'd look at if it's in our budget or not, or do we apply for a grant? Those are all unknowns.
Thank you, Steve. So I feel like the direction that the Planning Commission wants to take basically is to not necessarily have a moratorium. We don't really want to downzone. We don't want to do nothing, but we do want to set this aside and look at that study before we do anything else. Is that correct? Is that kind of how I see that? Like, we are looking into having a study. Is it John, Elena, are you into that? Matt, is that what you're looking at?
I mean, that's not what I said, but I said that I wanted, you know, I think a hydrologic study is priority and that we should explore downzoning. I'm not saying we should do it, but we need to explore that topic and keep that conversation going because there's so much to understand. And, you know, with the help of Lee, we could at least know what that actually entails and be creative with it. But I'm not necessarily saying don't do nothing. I'm saying let's not just table the conversation.
Yeah. So the thing about the down zoning is you mentioned too, we've spent a lot of time the last few years having citizen groups. And would we be able to go forward with the hydrologic study and have maybe a group this winter? Or do we need to just talk about downsizing, down zoning as far as a planning commission?
I'm suggesting that we work with Lee to fully understand what this means and what the possibilities and opportunities are so we know what we're talking about.
Does anyone else have any comments? Okay.
John here, Mike. As far as the hydrologic study, I'm not saying I'm opposed because I think my background as an engineer, I always like to get the facts. But I think it's going to take a long time, so I don't think we should ever make anything like addressing the subdivision regulations or something like that, amendments, contingent on getting the hydrologic study, because it's going to take a while to get the funding, to get the study done, to evaluate the study. I mean, I think if we work diligently at it, it's 2 years off before we had the results.
That's what I've heard too.
So I'm not opposed, but I don't see it as a high priority. Downzoning, I am terrified of the can of worms we would get if we, as I say, I think we have a lot more productive things to work on and get resolved before we tackle that can of worms. We can't fight every battle all at once.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like I'm not really sure what direction to go on. We have so many changes coming up right now and everything that we're doing as far as staffing people, everything. So, I want to continue this again. I want to continue this out, but I'm not sure really the direction. I kind of like what you said, Matt. I don't want to drop this. I do want to keep this in the discussion for next month. I don't think that we have enough people right now that want to have the study. Or if we do, that's 2 years down the road. So even if we do have a study, we're gonna start that, but it's 2 years down the road. So, Michela?
Haley has her hand raised, and so you might wanna.
Okay, sorry, Haley, go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. So I just need a little clarification here. The study, okay, it's 2 years down the road, but it's something we want to continue talking about and moving forward with if it is going to be 2 years down the road. Is that correct? Or so it needs to still be on the table. And I mean, John, I hear you say it's not a priority, but and maybe it's not a priority necessarily, but it's something that has to be in movement. Because if not, then it's going to take even longer than the 2 years, is what I'm understanding. So just want to clarify that and make sure that although we realize it's not going to happen for possibly 2 years, we need to keep the movement of that going and be working on talking to, what did you say, Jones and DeMille? I can't remember the name. But anyways, moving on that. And then what was my other question? Oh gosh, lost my train of thought. I don't know, let me let's see. Let me think. Sorry. Come, I'll mute again. I can remember, but I can't remember right now. I remember. Sorry.
That's fine.
Sorry. Lee, I just wanted to ask you, with what you've heard, and I don't know if you can comment on this or not, but with sort of the conversation that you've heard so far, do you have anything to say to this?
Sure.
What we've discussed so far and your sort of thoughts?
Well, I've been listening, trying to absorb where people are at. I think that the point you just made about, hey, if we wait longer to start talking about a hydrologic study, then it takes even longer to get the results. And so I think that we need to make a decision one way or the other as to whether the Planning Commission is going to recommend that. I think it would be hard to come up with a higher priority for what information you need to know to look at the future of Boulder. The point was made that State Health has jurisdiction over on-site wastewater systems. They have jurisdiction on the construction of them. As in every other state, the standards the state applies are political, not scientific. And there are examples all over the Mountain West of where perfectly legal on-site wastewater systems have wreaked havoc on aquifers. If you have too many of them. And so I think you have to say what's important here in terms of the quality of life and character. You can't rely on State Health to protect your aquifer. That's not going to happen. And so if you're concerned about that, then you need to have the hydrologic study that says, hey, look, the only control we have over this as a community is over the density of development, and we need to make sure the density of development is sufficiently low that we don't get groundwater contamination problems. And so you're set there with the reality that perfectly lawfully installed systems will eventually result in substantial contamination. And if you don't want that to happen, then you're going to have to be the agency that deals with it as the town and say, look, we can't permit those systems at the density that the state would approve. The state would approve all 450 of these systems in a blink. It won't happen that way, of course, but they would. And then you would be set dealing with the consequences. The consequence of that, which is something you can see in communities all over the country, is the aquifer becomes contaminated and you have to install central sewage. To afford central sewage, you have to raise the density, and all of a sudden, instead of thinking about 450 homes, you're thinking about thousands. And you'll be pushed that way because those of you who are there now are not going to want to pay what it's going to cost to deal with these issues. So I think that the history of this type of development in rural areas everywhere should point you towards, we better figure out what's going on with our aquifers here. If you get contamination of the Farmstead Water Company's wells from on-site systems, what happens then? Then all of a sudden, the fact that you have lots and lots of water is nice, but you have to start paying to treat it. In a way that it's not treated right now. So if you take a 20-year view of this, which I think it is reasonable to do, then you need to know about the water, in my opinion. And failing to do so will be very costly in the long run. Now, if you know about the water and you look at it and it indicates a downzoning that is politically unpopular, that will play itself out in local politics. That's the way the system works. Nonetheless, most people are affected to some degree by good information. And if it looks as though the density of development that's contemplated right now and the bulk of development that's contemplated right now is not going to be accommodated, then you're going to hopefully see some landowners who say, look, I get that. The other reality, of course, is that landowners pay taxes. And if you exceed the thresholds of the system, then everybody's taxes are going to be affected, the larger landowners the most. So there's a counter energy here. The fiscal impacts of the 450 homes would be big. And so I guess my thought, my advice to you as someone who's watched this play out over and over again, is that you need to get on the hydrologic study immediately. If that means the Planning Commission has to make a recommendation, then you need to do that. And, you know, the downzoning, I understand why nobody wants to talk about that. It's going to be unpleasant. But I think you all have to ask yourself, am I going to be okay with decisions that lead to Boulder being a very, very different place? If you are, then fine.
Okay.
If you aren't, then you're going to have to.
Yeah.
If you're not okay with that, you're going to have to do some hard work.
Okay. So Peg has commented, Peg is our secretary, says there's, so the thing about it is, I think we're all kind of in consensus that we do need to look at a hydrologic study. It's going to take a while, so why not look into it? Peg's basically saying that there could be possible federal funding for it. So I think that we might want to look at moving forward. We can at least find out how much it would cost, what they'll do. I wouldn't mind looking, not doing nothing on this, but moving forward on that study. I think right now, as far as downzoning, maybe something we could talk about that after the first of the year. And that's the direction that I would like to go. So, Michela.
Does she need to make a motion or like to take it to town council?
Do we make a motion?
You guys would need to make a motion to decide how you're going to, what you want to do at this point.
So, John, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to end with a motion, but I think right now this this is going to require some background work. There's a great number of questions I have that I have to spend some time on the internet looking up existing documents. I may have some very specific questions for Lee that need to be addressed. So what the motion will be is that we move on to the next agenda item for tonight, but continue this discussion at a future meeting where we start gathering facts to scope out a study, because to answer the question of how much it's going to cost, the question the engineers have is, what do you want done? And to know what we want done, we need to do things like look at hydrologic studies that other towns have done. We need to look at existing documents. I recall somewhere, I've seen a map of Boulder with the mapping of what areas have septic, good potential, medium potential, poor potential for septic. We need to gather that stuff that already exists and get our heads around it. So I think people need to do some homework, and we revisit this each meeting and try to make a little bit of progress toward defining what the scope of the study is and also explore where we can get funding to do it.
Yeah.
So the motion is to
okay. So I want everybody to listen to this. Okay, so John is making a motion right now.
So the motion is to move on to the next agenda item, but to continue this discussion of doing a hydrologic study in future meetings.
Is that clear enough, Peg?
I got the motion.
Okay, so does anyone want to second that? Okay, so I'm going to second that. So anyone can agree with it or go along with it. If you don't go along with it, please state your reason why. So let's go. Elena, do you want to vote? or Haley or somebody needs.
You need to just proceed, call a name and have them give their opinion or their vote.
Elena.
Yes, that works for me. Elena Hughes, aye.
Yes,
okay.
Elena Hughes, aye. Thank you. So Elena Hughes, aye. Haley, hey, Haley.
I just want to.
We just need
before,
you to. Say
well,
aye.
Can I? Okay.
Go ahead.
But I have a comment as well.
Okay.
So can I comment with along with my? I mean, I'm just. Or do I just? Can I not say aye then? Because I'm not quite ready, I guess.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure how this works, but I have something to say before I am ready to.
Okay, so Matt, could you vote, please? Matt?
I'm voting nay. No, my reason for doing so is I want to strategize and act on the hydrologic study right now and not bump it down the line. And there are some other things that I want to discuss about putting the future growth addition around this issue into the general plan so it's noted as something that we continually work on in the future.
Okay, yeah, I guess I'm sort of with Matt. As far as the hydrological study goes, I would like to sort of confirm something there. I think, you know, what I heard Steve say is that talking to someone like Jones and DeMille, who's worked with Boulder Farmstead, they would have a lot of information, like as far as John, what you're talking about, they would, I'm thinking maybe they would have that information for us as far as helping us come up with a plan for the hydrological study we want done. So maybe that's a part of Matt, what you're talking about. I think just looking at some steps moving forward, not just saying like, okay, let's do our homework. I think we have a couple things we could put on the table as far as what we could do to get this moving forward. So just discussing, I guess I'm, Haley Apperson is voting nay as well, because I would like to discuss more around what we want to do moving forward in regards to getting this hydrological study, or at least the conversation with whomever going.
Okay, so you voted no?
Nay.
Sorry. So John, did you vote?
John votes in favor of the motion.
He made the motion.
Okay, well that's what I thought. I'm sorry. I'm just a little yeah. So the thing is John, in your comment, you were just saying that you wanted to move forward in the agenda. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so John's comment was basically saying he wants to move forward in the agenda, and that also, so, and that we're also moving forward. So I'm going to vote yes. Okay. So we've all voted, correct? Okay, so.
You have three yeses and two noes.
Okay. Elena?
Can I just say something?
Yeah, so we've just voted, and then Elena's going to say something.
Yeah, I stick with my vote, but it seems like Matt and Haley are maybe not ready to move on. They had a couple more questions. Should we let them do that?
No. So what I want to do is we're going to continue to discuss this. So John, I mean, we all need to do more research on this, and that's, I think, exactly what we want to do. And so we're going to go ahead and continue to gather research on the hydrologic study. So I think we're ready to move on to the next thing.
Haley is raising her hand again.
Haley, go ahead.
So I guess, I mean, if this would be helpful, and Matt, maybe you can chime in, and I realize we're moving forward, but can I just volunteer to connect with Steve and figure out how to connect with Jones and DeMille. Like, I feel like that, just that in itself, like just something to say, hey, this is something we're going to do to take action on this right now.
Well, I think that anybody can look into any kind of information. I think that's what's happening right now, even with Jimmy being here tonight. And that we can come together again next week with people's ideas as we move forward with this.
Haley, you can include me on that. And I think, Colleen, what we need to do is actually make tangible, actionable steps. That's my push right now, and not just bump it and hope one of us does something before the next month. And so that's, I'm just going to note out loud, Haley, I'll include with you and let's talk to Steve and get something going. But I would request that the rest of the Planning Commission actually take steps forward rather than just sort of mess around with it till next month. Thanks.
I know that John said that he was going to do some things, and John's got his hand up. So go ahead, John.
No, I think this is exactly right. So Matt, if you and Haley, for example, get with Steve and get the information he has passed on, and so you can talk with Joseph DeMille. In the meantime, I'm going to be doing some background research that I just don't have on the top of my head right now. I might also make a list of very specific questions that I'll forward to you, Colleen, to pass on to Lee, so that Lee might be prepared to address those questions, specific questions about hydrologic studies next month.
Yeah, and when you do an email, you can add, Peg's got all of our addresses on it, so as far as Peg and everybody on the commission and Lee, so that we can all see that. That's great.
Okay,
so the other thing too is we're not really discussing anything as far as that goes, as far as those emails, but those are the kinds of things that are good for using email for, so thank you for that.
Yeah, so I will get you some specific questions that you'll then have time to get answers to help us along.
I think basically what I'm going to do is, because Jimmy came here tonight, I'm going to myself maybe talk a little bit more to Jimmy and see if there's any more information that he can contribute to that, because I know Boulder Farmstead also works with Jones and DeMille, so that's my commitment as far as next month. Okay, so are you still there, Lee?
I am here.
Okay, how does that sound?
I think that the important thing is that people pursue this in one way or another. I guess my specific thought would be to, if Matt and Haley are going to sit down with Steve and talk about this, that the three of you should maybe discuss inviting a representative from the engineering firm to show up at the next Planning Commission meeting and talk about their experience and how they would see a hydrologic study to cover the Boulder Basin. At the same time, while I know it would be probably tough for busy people, you could also extend an invitation to the Groundwater Division of the Utah Geological Survey and say, hey, if you could find a way to come talk to our Planning Commission, we'd appreciate it, and see how they respond. And that way you guys could talk directly to the people who have the experience with these studies.
Lena, do you want to take that on? Are you making notes here? No,
I am making notes.
Yeah, okay.
There's also the Division of Drinking Water, which can answer a ton of our questions for Utah's water.
Okay, so then we also, from Jimmy said, the Division of Drink of Utah
Division,
Drink.
Division of Drinking Water.
Division of Drinking Water.
Right. No, that's a good observation. They would have things to share with you too. So, you know, it's not easy sometimes for those folks to get out and about in the state, but there's absolutely nothing lost by inviting them.
We have Zoom.
There's Zoom. We've been Zooming, right? We can Zoom.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, that was a lot of information. Lee, what I'd like to know is, it's 8:00. We haven't even moved into the IADU ordinance. And as much as I would like to talk about it and go through it, I want to look at you and your time as far as whether you have time to do any more discussion with us tonight.
I think that we need to move on, and I would be willing to spend some time. We have both the subdivision regulation amendments that were proposed and the IADU ordinance to talk about. And, you know, there's more to come after that, but I have not been preparing more memos because you guys haven't caught up with me yet. So I guess I would at least like to see if there are questions or concerns about the accessory dwelling unit information that I provided you with and with the draft ordinance language. The core of that reflects changes in state law that you don't really have a whole lot of choice about and have to comply with whether you have concerns or not. But because we were dealing with the topic, it was necessary to get off into definitions and into looking at external accessory dwelling units just to maintain some consistency in how these things are treated. So there are changes in here that you could say, hey, I have a question or an issue about that. And so you guys have had it since, when did you guys had this? You guys got this on June 30th. And so I'm hoping that people haven't forgotten it if they looked at it. But, you know, to make it an extremely quick summary, you have to permit internal accessory dwelling units within the footprint of an existing dwelling, period. And you have rather limited capacity to set conditions on those. And so this picks up that change in state law and does it in a way that I think is consistent with the rest of Boulder's approach to things. And of course, this is not in the old, or this is not in the codifier's format because I wrote it so long ago. It's back in the format of the old ordinance. And so you've got those things that I just need to see if people have issues with anything that's in here. If you don't have any serious issues, then I suggest that you set a public hearing on it for November so that we can come into compliance with state laws, you know, as promptly as makes sense.
I do have a question here, and so go ahead, John.
Okay, this is a point of order. We did approve an agenda. It has items in order, and we're now 15 minutes past the time that we should start the public hearing on the subdivision amendments. So I would like to make a motion that we move to the public hearing so that we stay somewhat on schedule.
Okay. Does anyone have any comments? Matt? Haley? Do you want to discuss this? Do you want to? John has a point. We do have some things that we need to discuss. Matt, do you want to? Can somebody make any other comments? Elena?
Cecilia, I have a question for you, Lee. The part that talks about ADUs for employees, and it says a dwelling unit for an employee that is on the same lot as a commercial use. I wonder, is it super necessary for it to be on the same lot as commercial use? I can think of a few scenarios in town where the actual place where a business is maybe not where someone might be able to house someone, but that they might be able to elsewhere.
Yes. The way this is set, you have to deal with you've got two separate questions there. But I think you guys actually have a motion on the floor to go ahead and move to the public hearing. And we need to deal with that motion promptly. But what I will try to say as quickly as possible is that it's only an accessory dwelling unit by these definitions if it's on the same lot. That does not mean that you as a business owner cannot buy or rent another dwelling unit for your employees. And those dwelling units wherever they might end up be, would be regulated within the residential zoning. So there's nothing about this that limits the owner of business from renting a house or purchasing a house. I mean, I know people all over the West who do that for their employees. The only reason this is so specific is so that it's clear that you can add a dwelling to a commercial property, which is not always, you know, clear if you don't clarify it. So I think the answer to your question is that if you rent another place to house employees or you buy another place, it's not actually an accessory dwelling because it's not on the same lot. It's just an ordinary dwelling and it's treated like any other dwelling. Okay? Is that clear enough?
That makes sense. Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
So I'm going to address John's comment. Basically, it does say on this bullet point that we need to go into a public hearing on a subdivision. I know that Peg puts this in here approximately 8 p.m. is what it says, and it usually is for us so that we stop at about approximately 8 p.m. and figure out whether Lee is, whether we're finished with Lee or not. So that's really the only reason why that 8 p.m. is there, that Peg puts that there. And so, do you have any other comment? Are you willing to just, you know, can we work through this a little bit?
Okay, John speaking here, we have an actionable amendment to the subdivision regulations that's been,
yeah,
that's ready to go, and we do need Lee for that discussion.
Yeah.
I think the amendments required by recent legislation, people got so exhausted at the last meeting that we really didn't get to it. It's going to take some time, so I'm afraid if we take that first, we're never going to get to the subdivision amendments tonight. So I would still make the motion that we move to the subdivision amendments, the immediate amendments to subdivision regulations item on the agenda, so Lee can participate on that.
Okay, so
Colleen?
Yes. Go ahead, Peg.
I apologize, John. I'm sorry your motions have been stepped on twice now, but I just want you to be aware of, if you've forgotten, that these necessary amendments is what the document is called, and they're there because these were enacted on, I think it was May 1st of this year, with the understanding that they probably couldn't be activated until the legislature gave everybody until October 1st to actually put this stuff in their code. So we're beyond the extension that was allowed by the legislature of actually getting it into our ordinances. I just want you to be aware that we don't have forever to put this off.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you haven't been here, John, so you probably didn't know that. And we've been doing a lot of other things. And so I would, do you want to rescind that motion? Can we? I'm not.
Can see if he gets a second.
Well, so far there hasn't been a second on this motion.
I'll withdraw it, and we can do the required amendments discussion first. That's fine with me.
Okay. Thank you, John, and thank you and Peg for your information too. And that's kind of what I was going to say too. I wanted to know what the time frame on as far as when we were supposed to have this in. So the thing I want to know is on page 3, that I have it on page 3, it says appendix proposed amendments. You usually for us, I assume that this is the information that we are looking at. We're going to repeal ordinance 218-4. We have to amend the sections. And what you've done here is for as far as doing the zoning districts, you have crossed out what we had. You have added what is going to be required by the legislature. Is that correct?
That's more or less correct, yes.
As we move on down there, you have I've shown EADUs as a compatible, potentially compatible use in every residential zoning district. Then we amend table three, parking table, on the next page. Those are the things that we are required by law to change. Amend section 803 as follows, the things that you have in here. Now these, I have a question on, it says section 1019 accessory dwelling unit. You are asking us questions. Are these things that we still need to look at? And
yep, they are.
So we need to go to number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. These are just questions. And then at the on page 5, amend chapter 20, the definitions as follows.
No.
You continued on with your format.
Yeah.
On page 6, on page 5, we're looking at what the legislature is, accessory dwelling units for commercial, accessory dwelling unit for external, accessory dwelling unit for internal, accessory unit. Those are things that they're requiring of us.
Some of these things are required because making the change the legislature mandates requires you to change other parts of your ordinance to be consistent. So for instance, clarifying what an ADU for a commercial unit is was not required by the legislature, but it's necessary from the structure of your ordinance so that we are clear that there are different types of accessory dwelling units. There are internal and external accessory dwelling units within or appurtenant to dwellings, and then there are also accessory dwelling units that are pertinent to commercial uses. And so as we had to add detail about the internal dwelling units, accessory dwelling units, the state requires you to do, we had to clarify how we're going to regard external and commercial accessory dwelling units. So that meant we had to get into the definitions. When I got into the definitions, there were things there that were either unclear or needed to be added just to try to bring things into a better state of consistency. In the interest of time, you have to remember that I'm approaching a very late evening here. In the interest of time, I guess I have a big question, which is any of this stuff so controversial that you're not willing to just go ahead and schedule a public hearing on it? And if you're willing to schedule a public hearing on it, as it's written, you could have a motion to schedule a public hearing on this in November. People would then be able to refresh their memories about it, because you got this in June, right? It's a long time ago. You could refresh your memories about it between now and the second Thursday in November. And if there are issues and problems, we could deal with them after we've heard the hearing and heard what the public had to say. And that would be my suggestion for the quickest way to move on. And then we could get on to the public hearing that is scheduled on those subdivision amendments and deal with that. So I guess my question is there something in here that anyone there has seen that strikes them as in some way controversial or unworkable that we need to stop right now and say, okay, let's make sure we deal with that? Or is this close enough to reasonable that you just have a motion to set a public hearing on it and go forward?
Does anyone have any comments? John, you had your hand up. I think Matt's got a comment.
I just have for water for you.
Okay.
I looked this over pretty thoroughly. I think Lee has done an excellent job of putting this together. Given that we would have a public hearing, we'll talk about the water and other things. Yeah. My motion would be that we take the Lee's recommendations and submit it for a public hearing at our November meeting.
Okay.
I'll second that motion. So, all in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Oh,
John Barath, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Did Elena vote? I missed that.
Yes.
Yeah, she said aye.
Okay, so thank you everyone for that discussion. So
next is the
So we're going to take just a second for a break because Elena needed a minute. And so what I'm going to do right now, and by the way, thank you, Lee. Sorry, I didn't look up.
It's okay.
Thank you, Lee, for all of your help tonight.
Thanks, mm-hmm. Lee.
Well, if I think that I might need to hang on for this hearing on the amendments to the subdivision regulations. I will stick with you for a bit longer if you can, move forward.
Okay. So the thing that I wanted to do was, so what I'm going to do is we are going to, so as far as going into a public hearing, we generally will start with people in the public or the committees asking questions about the subdivision ordinance, subdivision amendments that we're making. So this is part of what we've been working on. All the work that we've been doing with the definitions of the table of uses, that's basically what we were doing was we were updating the definitions for the table of uses. And right now what we're looking at, we have gone into the subdivision and we're looking at updating things that we see as issues. And this is what we've gotten from Lee. You can see it up on the screen right now. Peg, that one dated August 30th, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So Lee has made these changes. I guess what we did was we picked roads and streets to start with as far as trying to get some better definitions. This comes out of our new codification as 152.011. Chapter 152 is the Boulder Code that we're looking at. And so what I want to do is Peg, are you kind of showing that up there?
I have the document up. I'm not sure what you want to look at quite yet, so.
And so it says right here, so an ordinance amending Boulder's town code to provide greater clarity and practicality in the review of proposed subdivision. So at the, so this is what Lee is, has set down for us. In chapter 152, add the following definition in alphabetical order. So he's got easement, the definition there, right away. Replace the definition of street as follows. He has the street definition. Amend 152 as follows. There's different wording in here. So you can see where Lee has added, where he's taken out. And so does anyone have any questions about what is in this ordinance that we're amending on tonight?
John here, just a procedural thing. I'm new here. Exactly where are we in this process? Do we need to send this to a public hearing, or are we ready to send this to the?
Okay, so we're getting so
we're
thank
public
you.
Hearing now, yeah, and then
no.
We can send it to the town council.
Yeah. So what is happening right now? And thank you for asking that. So we're asking questions. We're going to open it up for a public hearing. The public will make their statements. And then we're going to close the public hearing, and the council will discuss what we've heard, people's questions. If you have questions too, also, if you have any questions on this. And does that answer your question?
Yeah, I just wanted the clarification. So
thank you.
I guess we haven't opened the public hearing yet.
No.
So our steps are going to be to make it, discuss it quickly ourselves.
Question.
Have a bit motion to open the public hearing, and then we listen to the public. And at the close of tonight,
we close the hearing,
yeah,
we'll have another discussion between us, just
right.
us. And then, yes, we can send it on to the town council.
We can make a motion to send it to the town council after the hearing.
Yes.
Right.
And okay. That's the way, yeah, that's, yes.
I wanted to be clear on how you wanted to run the meeting.
The procedure.
Yes.
Thank you, John,
very much.
For that. And Elena, does that you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think I asked, do we not have any questions? Does anyone in the public, or let's start with the town, with the Planning Commission, does anyone have any questions on this document, the ordinance that we're amending?
This is Elena. I did have a question, Lee. Granted, I just got this a few days ago since I'm new to this, so I haven't had it for so long. But could you explain to me why an easement is included in the area, but a right-of-way is excluded from the area?
I can explain that. It's a matter of really fundamental real estate law. A right-of-way is owned by somebody else. There's no such thing as a right-of-way across, through, or in some other way affecting a lot while remaining in the same ownership of the lot. So a street that's been dedicated to the public is, for all practical purposes, the property of the county or the town. A pipeline right-of-way would be the property of the pipeline company, a power line right-of-way the same way. And that tends to apply to highway streets and to major utilities. Easements cover any modification of an owner's rights. So if you have your lot and the power company has a power line going down the lot line between you and your neighbor, you probably have an easement on it to the power company. And that gives them the opportunity to come in and maintain their line. The same could be true with an irrigation structure, with a pipeline or anything, but you retain ownership. And so it is a modification of your property right. An easement is a modification of a property right in favor of someone else, usually a utility or a public entity. But there's all sorts of easements in the world. And so the difference is that you pay taxes on the land that's under an easement, and you are able to use it within the terms of the easement. A right-of-way you do not pay taxes on, and even though it may adjoin your property, you have no rights in it, no formal rights in it whatsoever. So is that clear?
Yeah, thank you.
John?
John here. Just for people's awareness, Lee submitted the original one had a definition of right-of-way that had some vagueness that caused some concern, and Lee has submitted as of yesterday a revised definition of the right-of-way. So that's Lee, you could cover that as
right. Yeah, the procedural way to deal with that, you all have a copy of it. Once you've heard what the public has to say about the ordinance as it stands, because the hearing has to be on what's the draft as it stands. The hearing is not on, we can't add to the hearing the minor modification that I propose. Once the hearing is closed, then the Planning Commission discussion begins. Then one of you will need to make a motion to accept the revision that I proposed to these proposed amendments, and you don't need to take that back to hearing, because the whole purpose of this process is that you can now hear what the public has to say and make any revisions are necessary. So, but before you move to send it to council, you'll have to have a separate motion that makes that revision. But at this point in time, the public hearing is on the draft that you have that's dated, whatever it's dated. I forget what day this is dated, the draft of August 30th. And then the Planning Commission has the power to make that revision if you want to do so once the public hearing is closed.
Hey, did you have a question? Does anyone, do we have any other questions?
I don't see any hands raised. They usually come to the top of the list.
Okay. So, we are going to, I'm going to make a motion to open the public hearing. Do I have a second?
I'll second that. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Ron, aye.
Elaine Hughes, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Elaine Thompson, aye. So the public hearing is now opened, and if anyone has any comments on the ordinance amending Boulder Town's proposed subdivision, review Boulder Town's proposed subdivision, you may make your statements now, the public. Okay, so I don't see, does anyone, Peg, do we have any comments?
I'm not seeing Zoom comments. No hands raised or blurting out of anything. So anybody in the audience there?
No. Oh, Tina Carlson raised her hand.
Okay, so it looks like Tina.
Okay, so I just want to confirm that the road easement is just like any other easement in this draft. Basically, it is not part of the land. Or the qualification on how much land someone owns. It's not a. The road easement does not take away from the land that actually is owned. Is that correct?
We can't answer questions in the hearing.
Oh, sorry.
That's why we asked for questions earlier. All we can do in a hearing is take statements.
Okay, so my statement is, I hope that the road easement is not part of the land description or takes away from the land description. Or any.
We can come back to that once the Planning Commission closes the hearing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Okay, so I think that's all of the statements that we have for the public hearing.
I don't see anybody else.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion that we close the public hearing.
I'll second that. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Doug Grant, aye.
Erin Hughes, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye. Okay, so let's go right into that. Lee, can you go ahead and comment on that statement?
I can go ahead and comment on that. The roads normally do not run in an easement. They run in a right-of-way. Okay, and that distinction, Boulder has blurred that distinction in the past, and you've got to stop doing that. And we will... These amendments are the start of making sure that you can't blur it in the future. but these amendments were in response to some immediate needs, and so they're not the whole story. But essentially, roads will not be included within lot areas, and they will be rights of way. They will be owned by either the town, the county, or conceivably be private. I will be recommending against the use of private roads when we get to that question. And so there are existing roads that are in easements, and we obviously can't change that by fiat, but every time there is a proposal for subdivision, anything that's on a road that's on easement is going to be converted to a right-of-way. And that will clarify who does what, and it will clarify how roads affect lot sizes, because the origin of these amendments was that for some reason, and no one has come up with an explanation, I guess, of exactly why. I know Tina looked at it, but Boulder had done something that most places don't do, which is say that you exclude easements from lot areas. And that meant that we had lots that fell under the minimum lot size because they had a driveway easement across them. And that's not how it should work. So these amendments are in response to that particular specific situation and an attempt to rapidly deal with it and leave some other questions for the future. I think the answer is that the intent of what we're doing here, starting with these amendments, is that roads will never be included within a lot. And to the extent that we come upon situations in the future where there's an easement for a road, if that parcel is going to be subdivided, that'll be converted to a right-of-way. And so it won't affect lot sizes.
And clarification, a driveway is not a road?
Driveway is not a road.
Thank you.
Okay, does anyone else have any comments?
John speaking here. There was, in the version that was submitted, there was a phrase that was, I had some concern about, and it was in the definition of right-of-way.
What page? Can you
Page two.
Okay.
Definition of right-of-way at the top. And it said, has been or will be dedicated to the public or otherwise acquired by a government or irrigation company. And the concern was that vagueness of the will be and how someone would know what would be included in the future. Lee has made it pretty clear with a revised wording now, which is on the memo that he sent on the 13th, where it reads, has been or will be dedicated to the public or otherwise required. I read the wrong one. So the definition of right-of-way now is, a right-of-way is a linear area that is used or proposed to be used as a street or trail and or for irrigation works or utilities and or other public purposes, and has been or will be dedicated to the public on the subdivision plat.
Thank you for bringing that page up, John, because I neglected to, because we just got this memo and it is going to be included in tonight. So thank you for bringing that up.
So the clarification now is that will be only refers to changes of ownership that are part of the subdivision proposal.
Yes. Thank
not
you.
Not some vague anytime in the future it could be required.
Yes. And that is from the memo that we got today.
Right. So somebody needs to make a motion to change the draft to reflect the memo you got today.
Okay. I will so move to change the amendment to include the revised wording of the October 13th memo.
I second that. And
all in favor?
All in favor? Aye. Colleen?
Haley Apperson, aye.
Joanna Hughes, aye.
John Durant, aye.
Matt Cochran, aye.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you're going to need a motion to send it on to the town council.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so John, go ahead, John.
Okay, John is making a motion to send the immediate amendments with the correction to the right-of-way wording to the town council.
I second that.
All in favor? Colleen Thompson, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Aaron Hughes, aye.
John Brandt, aye.
Matt Cochran, aye.
Okay, so thank you so much for all of your help. Lee, did you have any, were you going to say something?
No, I would just say, though, that if Matt and Haley, when you get together with Steve to talk about the groundwater study, if you want, I would be willing to participate in that conversation. And certainly not necessary that I do, but if you want some advice, I'll be happy to participate there. Otherwise, I'm going to go to bed. Here in the Eastern time zone, it's rather late. And in November, we'll hold a public hearing on those ADU changes. People should read them and get comfortable with them or not between now and then. And hopefully we can do the same thing with those that we did tonight and send them on to the council.
Thank you, Lee.
Sure. I'll see you guys in November.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
All your help for thank you for all your help on this, all for the members. Okay, so we wanted to bring up tonight a conflict of interest form. This issue was brought up, gosh, Pig said it was almost a year ago. We all had a conflict of interest form that the town adopted, and Josie was the only one that ended up turning hers in. She's no longer on the Planning Commission, and so it's very important that each one of you get those documents to Peg. It can be done electronically or printed off, but it's really imperative that we get those documents. Thank you, John. I think you just turned yours in, and I'm going to make a point to get mine turned in too. So Haley and Elena and
I've got Haley's and I've got Matt.
Okay, good. Oh, great. So that's me. Okay, so we will get our conflict of interest forms in. Okay, so right now let's talk about upcoming business for November 11th. Peg.
You've got a public hearing on the IADU necessary amendment changes, hearing. And do you want me to read through what I wrote down for your little action items for the water situation? Or do you have that noted yourself? Or do you want me to send that out to you tomorrow?
That would be great. If you could just send out what we all volunteered to do instead of going over it, that would be great.
Okay. So there's that discussion with Lee of the results of your findings of dealing with the water issue. And I think that is all that I know about right now.
I think we're talked about adding in a further discussion around exploring the idea of downzoning, didn't we?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. So I'll add that into Lee's discussion period.
Yeah. Yeah. Just for some education for the Planning Commission and everyone involved.
Right. Okay.
I would like to know what that entails too. It doesn't mean that we will go for it, but I'd like to know more information. I think maybe some of us, John has a real opinion on it too. And I'd like to, explore that, So yes. And that's what we'll be discussing with Lee next month.
Yes, and you need to be aware that next month's meeting, which will be on the 11th, is after daylight savings time ends. So that means the meeting will start at 6 p.m. instead of 7.
Yes.
Okay. Lee will be very happy to hear that.
That's another thing. The Planning Commission changes their meetings in the middle of the year. The Town Council does not. So we will, and we'll try to just make sure that we're here at 6. Haley? I'll be here at 6. So, okay, Michela, go ahead.
I might just have to wait a second. Okay, so
Before we move on to final public comments,
Does this have to do with business?
Nope, it's after. So let me know when you're done.
Okay, so yeah, so totally. So that's basically all that we have for business right now. For November 11th. And Peg, is that okay?
Yes.
So then we're going to go ahead and move on with, before we get to public comment, Michelle has something that she would like to say.
Okay, so in my chaos this last week, I forgot to add Ray Gardner to forward to you for the agenda. So do we have time? Can we put him on to make a few statements? It's regarding his subdivision, I'm sorry, RV park.
Okay, so I don't want to add him right now.
You want it? Okay.
Because we had a point at the beginning where we could have changed or amended the agenda at that point, and we chose not to.
Okay.
But I think, Ray, if you want to make comments for a few minutes, and that's a perfect place for if that's okay. So we're going to move out of the upcoming business for November 11th and move into final public comments.
Ray Gardner. So just, and I'll keep this quick, we've been here a while. Just a couple of comments. My purpose for tonight was just to get a feel from Planning Commission as to what other documents and information you need to evaluate this project. And it's my intention to turn in some additional documents this evening. So that was, in my mind, this my time here tonight was just kind of a status hearing to see what other documents you need. In my opinion, just going through the requirements for the conditional use permit, some of those seem a little redundant and some of them a little bit vague, and so documents in, but if it doesn't contain the information you're looking for,
please go out there.
And please let me know and I'll get you the information you need. As it relates to our town council meeting a week ago, we talked about there's quite a bit of discussion about numbers. What is an appropriate number for an RV / campground? What would that number be as it relates to acreage? I have some numbers here just for your consideration that maybe a little bit of context.
So can I?
Sure.
Am I allowed to Peg? I realize that we're in final public comments right now. So what I have, my comment basically is that we took the ordinance for the RV and campgrounds. We had a public meeting. We had a public hearing in the summertime. We took our information to the town council, and it was basically not accepted. And so the Planning Commission no longer has any comment on to be made. I think you're going to need to take that to the county council.
Colleen, he's talking about a conditional use permit, so he's wondering, I haven't seen your packet, Ray, but you're asking about if additional documentation is needed by the Planning Commission to consider your conditional use, is that what you're asking?
Yes, well, what I'm asking is that what I will submit tonight, if that could be reviewed, and again, some of the requirements in my mind were a little bit vague, and so if that could be reviewed, and if I need to get more specific in some of that information, then I can provide that information.
So Peg, my concern with this is that nothing went forward at that meeting last week.
It doesn't matter. He's right now, if he submits his application tonight and it's, if Michaela says it's essentially complete for what she's aware of, it falls under the, he's in a funny place because he's having to he's having to conform with the checklist that have already been approved. However, he's falling under the old ordinance, not the new ordinance of RV campgrounds.
Exactly. And I'm not really sure that, I don't know that it's, go ahead.
There's nothing more, I mean, you can't change any numbers or anything. It's just what the ordinance says now in the current state.
Exactly. And so as a planning commission right now, I don't feel like in a public comment that we can make any decisions. This wasn't on the agenda, and I don't, so I feel like we're being asked to make some decisions.
Well, we haven't seen the packet yet, but Ray's just wanting to say that if more information is needed than what he provided, that he's willing to provide it, right, Ray?
Yes, that's correct. I'm not expecting.
But the thing about the planning commission is I'm not really sure that we can, because we're in the middle, I need a little help right here as far as where we're at as far as the planning commission and what happened at the meeting last week as far as
I feel like we're
kind of at a standstill right now and that we don't
it doesn't matter what the current ordinance prevails. It doesn't matter what they've discussed or not discussed at the council meeting.
Okay, so the thing that I'm going to say too is I want to make sure that John and Elena know what is on. So have both of you looked at the old ordinance? And do you,
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that you guys kind of understand what's going on right now too, because you're new.
Yeah, no, I've been following this pretty closely.
Okay.
I probably should have participated a little more as a member of the public on the new ordinance. But my understanding from every board I've been on is that as of tonight, if Ray submits something, it is under the, it is judged against the old ordinance because that is the one that's in effect, the existing ordinance.
Okay, so are you just asking us, so we're not doing any action tonight? Okay, that's all I'm trying to clarify, and I'm sorry, I just want to kind of clarify some things. So that's all I needed to know.
Okay, yes, I'm not right here. I'm not asking anyone to make any kind of decision tonight. I'll submit some paperwork, make a couple of comments, and then if anybody has a question, and that's really all I have.
So as the outgoing zoning administrator, okay, I'll take a look at the paperwork. I will hand it off to the new person and coordinate with you, Ray, about moving forward on the agenda and on your CUP, okay?
Okay, sounds great. Can I make just a couple of comments for consideration?
Yes, thank you.
But I'm not asking anyone.
Yes, thank you, and I appreciate that word, consideration.
And again, this is in reference to the discussion at town council meeting concerning numbers. What numbers would be appropriate in terms of how many sites would be allowed. There's a couple of neighboring RV campgrounds, one that we're familiar with over at the junction of Highway 12 and 24. That is under 5 acres. However, they do have 33 RV spots, 9 10 spots, a couple of cabins, for a total of 44 spots. We go on the other side of Boulder over to Cannonville at the KOA. It is under 8 acres. However, they have 70 RV spots, 13 cabins, 10 to 15 camping sites, for a total of about 93 spots. Now, I'm not suggesting that it has to be the same. However, I am saying that those are a couple of small communities on Highway 12. The current ordinance 3 to 20 spots. And I guess my comment would be I don't believe 20 spots is a viable business plan. I don't think that's enough. And I think that, I think that's the extent of my comments. Any questions that I can answer for anyone tonight?
Ray, have you shared, I think, at this point, Colleen's right, the Planning Commission has done their thing on this ordinance. It's before the town council, so I think that's very important information you need to share with the town council. But I...
Thank you. Thank you, John. Thank you, Ray, for bringing that. I'm sorry that that you didn't get put on the agenda, and thank you for that information.
Okay, so I'll turn in this paperwork and wait here for the information.
Yeah, and yeah, okay. All right, thank you. So I'm going to make a motion that we close the Boulder Town Planning Commission meeting. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
John Barrett, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye. Thank you, everyone, for all your help. And we got a lot done tonight. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.